B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get the latest in esports news with Sarah over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. Plus, we're going to check in on the latest in the biggest leagues in esports. We got an OWL update that you're not going to want to miss.
It was great.
Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Creative Assembly, the developers behind Alien Isolation, have been hard at work on a new IP. The company has remained secretive about the IP, but a new job posting suggests that it's going to be a hero-based shooter. Ooh. Specifically, the job posting is looking for a lead hero designer to work on a groundbreaking FPS.
Ooh, they coming for your Overwatches!
So, basically, is it going to be a team-based shooter where you all just go and kill one enemy?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like we've seen this, like, okay, we have Rainbow Six Siege and Overwatch and Apex Legends. Now we're the next developer on the train of hero-based shooters.
Well, and it
not to mention Lawbreakers, guys.
Yeah. Well, and it started
no,
as far
really?
Back.
You can miss Lawbreakers.
Yeah, but I mean, it went as far back as what Team Fortress 2 was one of the first hero-based shooters, wasn't it?
Now that I think about it.
Class-based. Not necessarily hero-based.
Well, that's what I think of.
Even Battlefield was class-based.
Yeah, that's true.
The 25th installment in a James Bond franchise looks like it's going to be introducing us to a new 007. So don't foam on the mouth, it's not specifically a new James Bond, but a new 007. The new film will star Lashana Lynch as 007 as she seeks to bring Daniel Craig's James Bond out of retirement.
Interesting.
Let me tell you this.
Great decision.
I really like this because there's nothing that says 007 must be James Bond.
Well, that's right.
And the way that Craig's first James Bond sort of started, that's what I always felt like. Like it was a mantle that you passed on to the next person.
Exactly.
Well, that's always kind of been up for debate. Mm-hmm. Is 007 the is James Bond a code name of 007? Do you become
Bond?
Yeah, exactly. When you take that responsibility on. So I'm really curious what the name of the character is going to end up
Ditto.
Being. That might be a really interesting new take on 007. I'm really excited for this.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Far From Home is continuing to perform well at the box office and now sits at around $850 million. It's a good thing, too, because according to a report from MovieWeb, the rights to Spider-Man 3 would revert back to Sony if the movie doesn't bring in $1 billion.
What?
That is...
I had no idea that this was part of the stipulation.
How was this written in? How was this a thing?
How did Marvel allow Sony to get that into the contract?
Hold on. So long as the movies perform, Marvel gets to keep making them. I mean, that really puts the onus on Marvel to make sure that they got top quality stuff coming out.
Now, is this worldwide box office numbers?
Yeah, it's already at $850 million. It's going to clear a billion.
I think we're going to be okay. I haven't gone to see it yet, but maybe I need to do my due diligence
Make
sure that these movies do not go back to Sony's hands and Sony hands
do
only.
Do your civic duty and make sure Sony never makes another superhero movie again.
You might be right. I think I have to do it.
As beloved retro systems continue to launch mini versions of themselves, now we're starting to get some of the less beloved systems.
Oh, no.
To that end, Konami has officially announced that the TurboGrafx-16 Mini will launch in March.
Don't do this.
The launch lineup will include both English and Japanese games, so if you ever wanted to get your hands on Kojima's Snatcher, this could be your chance.
Oh, no! Oh, I am met with a real, real moral conundrum on this one. Because I absolutely do not want to give Konami any more of my money.
Right.
No more.
But...
But Snatcher.
Is it going to be localized Snatcher, though? Like, are they... Oh,
it's going to be in Japanese still.
Okay, then never mind.
Oh, yeah. Well, then forget it.
Yeah, that's the problem. They are putting both like Japanese and English games onto the system, but they'll be in whatever region they came
that's
from originally.
Stupid.
That's really dumb.
This would be a good opportunity.
Yes, it would be a great opportunity to localize it.
And the only way you'll ever get any more of Nate's money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Final Fantasy VIII Remastered has officially received its rating from the ESRB.
It's that far along in development?
Right. Yep. Right.
The game got a T for teen, with the description noting the game's turn-based combat. I don't know why that's T rating, but okay. Use of some foul language, some blood, and scenes referencing a naughty magazine.
Ooh, the girl next door.
I forgot about that.
Importantly, this would likely be the final large hurdle before the game can be given an official release.
I'm starting to think... That story that they had lost the source code is balderdash.
I'm starting to feel that way. That's starting to sound an awful lot like an excuse for them to take another year to develop this game. When they did all the PC ports last year, no, they were working on FF8. So they just wanted to do more for it.
See, now it would not upset me if that was the case, but then why go to the trouble to say that, oh, we lost the source code?
Because how can you release every other Final Fantasy game and not release 8?
If you're not ready to announce the remaster of it, that's why you do it. You leak out that, hey, maybe we lost the source code and that's the reason for it, and stay mum on it otherwise.
What's the point of staying mum on it? Because that was only, half a year ago?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was, like, I think last fall sometime.
Because maybe if it was 2 years ago that we got that injection of the re-releases, but yeah, this doesn't make sense to, you know, go through all that trouble, market all of that, and then
it's Square. Since when is anything they've done? Okay, fine, fair point.
The Federal Trade Commission has announced that they will be holding a workshop in the early part of August to examine consumer issues surrounding loot boxes. Many guests have been invited to participate, including industry executives, consumer advocates, and trade associations. But the event will also be open to the public. It takes place on August 7th.
Who's going?
How much of a nightmare do you think this is going
to
be?
Well, I'll tell you who's going. Friend of the show, Omid Dariani, has been asked to present at this.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's going to be definitely something to keep our eyes on, for sure.
This is weird, because when they say, they call it a workshop, which is not the word I would have expected to hear.
It's a weird one.
It really does, when they describe the event, it does feel like a workshop. There's panels, and there's discussions, and there's...
Because the first thing that popped into my head is all these, like hearings and stuff, you know, we saw with Zuckerberg and Facebook, and the terrible Q&As. Yeah. I'm like, are we just going to go through that whole thing?
No, this seems like something entirely different.
All right.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. You know, we do our best not to talk about Final Fantasy XIV here on the show, mostly because we spent years doing our own podcast about it.
Yeah.
And we've kind of run through all of those discussion topics. But something's happening in FF14. Norris, I got to know about it.
Yeah, so in China, FF14 has a promotion at KFC to get a mount code, a special mount in the game.
Okay. Like a creature to ride around in the game, basically.
And it is causing people to eat tons of chicken.
How much chicken?
Lots.
Really?
A lot. So what you have to do is you have to get one of their family meals. Here's the problem. In China, in order for you to complete the terms and conditions of the contest, you must eat all of it before they give you the code.
Yeah, I'm reading up on this right now. You have to get a family for four, or a family deal for four, and eat the whole thing, which is a double chicken burger, a vegan mushroom burger, a five-piece chicken nugget, two original recipe chicken, a two-piece New Orleans chicken wings, an old Beijing spicy duck roll, two large Pepsis, and two large peach oolong teas.
So wait a minute. Does it stipulate that one person has to consume
one
all of this?
One human being.
No.
What? Well, it's a family meal.
It's a family meal for four. No,
yeah, you could have more people there to consume it, but you're only getting one code.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
So the problem is you probably have groups of friends going in and having to buy it. Like, they each buy it because they each want the code.
Yep.
And now you gotta all try to wolf that down.
Who's the poor KFC employee that has to sit there and watch you torture yourself?
Now, here's the crazy part. It's become so intense that people are putting up party finder request in the game to get people to come with them to KFC to complete this.
That's pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
That, I have to admit, that's pretty funny.
The last thing I will say is this whole thing may be very funny, but it's also quite problematic because, of course, you get the fat black chocobo.
Whoa!
No!
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
No!
Okay.
Yeah. Square.
Full stop.
Oh,
how did no one think about the optics here?
Yeah,
you get, how wait, I is just, that possible?
Norris, I got to confirm with this. You get a fat black chocobo mount for eating
tons
copious
of
amounts of fried chicken.
Yep.
I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
Okay. I got
are we not just supposed to acknowledge this part of it at all? The incredibly insensitive racist part of it?
Because I was about to say, Square Enix, until that part...
Did they think...
This is a brilliant idea on your part. This is a good promotion.
Did they think making the promotion in China, we just wouldn't figure out about it?
I have no idea, but as soon as I saw that, I was like... Yikes. Not just yikes.
Big yikes.
Yeah.
Big yuck, too.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, KFC, fine. Food is whatever it is.
It's not the first food challenge for a video game.
It's not. But I think that's ridiculous. I mean, you have to have somebody who will acknowledge and like sign off on the fact that you ate the chicken? Like, why can't you just buy the thing and if you want, throw out all the food?
You got your money.
And get the code. It should be a very upfront thing. I give you money, you give me food and the code.
Right. Why do I have to actually consider... This isn't man versus food for a black chocobo mount.
But yes, it is.
As it turns out, it actually
is. That's kind of exactly what it is.
That is literally what it is. Here's the thing. If I'm on a Chinese server and I saw the fat black chocobo, I'm instantly going like, let me go nowhere near that human being.
Bad news. Bad luck, Square Enix.
Oh, the meat sweats coming off those people.
Gross. We want to hear from you. Do you think that this is problematic? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. And Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in the biggest esports leagues with our esports leagues update. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
This esport event's prize pool might just be Fortnite's.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available.
That's right.
We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Not Your Player 2, and Low Team Damage. Check it out over at our website, checkpointxp.com/shop. Let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
With Sarah Skopic.
With about a month left until the largest Dota 2 tournament of the year, this year's International is shaping up to be their biggest one yet. Last week, the tournament eclipsed its previous record prize pool of around $25 million.
Wow.
With the Steam Summer Sale closed, they've launched a new month-long pass that has pushed the player-funded prize pool over $28 million. Their goal of $30 million this year is now well within reach and could potentially be blown
out. Listen, before long, we're going to be saying, like, is this the Powerball or the International?
Right, yeah.
Like, what number is bigger?
Well, here, here's the question that I have too, because last year we were talking about whether or not they'd be able to top themselves, because sure. from 2017-2018 it was less than $1 million increase.
Yeah. Sure.
And now we're talking about a $5 million increase from last year to this year?
Yeah. Listen, it's not... It's definitely a big accomplishment, especially for this community, because of the age of the game, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we can all agree Dota 2 is, you know...
No spring chicken.
Yeah,
As Robbie might wrongly say.
That's a
great way of putting
Spider-Man
it.
Spider-Man on the PS4 also used that reference.
Oh, okay. I'm great.
They used it correctly, though.
Yeah.
So did I.
That's the difference. But, you know, when we kind of talk about the international in the same breath as the, you know, the Fortnite World Cup,
yeah.
isn't the total prize pool of the Fortnite World Cup $100 million?
Yeah, I mean, so you could really argue it either way, because technically, like, the prize pool is spread out for all the qualifiers,
right.
and there, it's divided between the duos.
And the international tournament is one tournament.
Right, and the international, if it hits 30, that will be the $30 million dispersed amongst all of the different placements, right?
Yeah, it's a $30 million prize pool.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Congratulations go out to Team Liquid, who were the big winners at the Blast Pro Series Los Angeles. They defeated FaZe Clan in the finals, avenging a loss at Blast Pro Series Miami from back in April. The win marks Team Liquid's fifth consecutive major tournament victory.
Wow.
Did we just replace Astralis with Team Liquid?
It kind of feels like it.
And I'm okay with that.
It kind of feels like it. Yeah, I'm a little bit more okay with Liquid.
Well, America.
I mean, that's part of it.
That's part of it.
Another victory for America.
Thank you,
that's
Robbie.
Right.
Listen, you can own up to it. As Americans, we don't have the best time in the esports scene. A lot of the time, North America struggles. But yeah. Hey, in this game, we're finally on board.
I like to see it.
Astralis is officially looking to separate from their parent organization, Refresh Entertainment. Rumors had surfaced of tensions between Astralis players and Refresh, following claims that Astralis had skipped major tournaments in order to compete at Refresh events.
Yep.
Over the past few months, the Danish powerhouse has fallen from first place to third, and many are wondering if issues with their parent company might be contributing.
I'm for it.
Yeah, listen, if you add more dates, you know, that you're competing, then, yeah, you're not going to be as fresh on the other tournaments.
Nope.
They've had to drop out of some very visible tournaments in order to support the Refresh Entertainment brand. And I don't think that it's been overall, in the end, good for Astralis.
EVO is quickly approaching, and Smash Bros. Ultimate is primed to maybe be the headline act this year. As Dragon Ball FighterZ becomes the seventh game to have over 1,000 competitors listed, Smash Ultimate is far and away leading the pack. It's got people wondering if Street Fighter V will yield the main event this year, as they have the third most competitors behind both Smash Ultimate and Tekken 7.
And Tekken? Mm-hmm.
In fact, Smash Ultimate has shattered the record for most entrants, with 3,492 people registered to compete.
Hold on, I need to understand this. Mm-hmm. Norris, why do you attribute, like, to what do you attribute the growth in the Smash Ultimate?
There's no
Ultimate
melee.
Team?
There's no melee.
Really?
There's no melee. So you take whatever whatever incumbent community you would have had with Smash Ultimate, add on top of that to compete in Smash at the top level, you got to compete in Smash Ultimate at EVO. So you really got two communities in one.
They've kind of funneled both communities into the same game.
That said, it seems kind of disingenuous that, like, you're not giving credit to Smash Ultimate. Like,
oh,
Smash
not at
Ultimate
all.
has been a huge draw by itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't say that as a slight to Smash Ultimate at all. It's a great game, and the community has really come out to support that game, so it probably deserves to be top billing at EVO, much to the chagrin of somebody like me who still loves Street Fighter.
3,492 people, that's like 30% higher than their all-time record before this.
Yeah,
that's an insane
gonna be the
number
best
of competitors.
EVO
that's
ever.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
100 Thieves have raised $35 million in a new round of Series B funding. The money will be going towards a new headquarters for the team based out of Los Angeles. The new building will house the entirety of 100 Thieves operations, including esports practice facilities and streaming stations. The 15,000-square-foot facility will also host the team's apparel operations in the future.
Nayshot, you got investment from the Gilbert, man. Bring them to the D.
From the Gilbert.
I was kind of waiting to figure out where they were going to place it. Los Angeles is a bit of a surprise decision. Granted,
that's where
everything is going on. I understand that. It would have been nice to get a little bit more support here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Even if they had put it in Cleveland, I think that would have
been cool, too.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have. But at the end of the day, they're competing week in and week out in Los Angeles in League of Legends.
Sense. sense.
So that's why it's
It makes
there.
Sense.
Yeah, sure. That said, right. yeah, very personally, very selfishly, would I have wanted it to be in Detroit or Cleveland even?
Yeah, of course.
The 60-day deadline for Echo Fox to remove an investor following racist remarks made towards team owner Rick Fox has come and gone. While the individual in question has not yet been removed, Riot has approved a 7-day extension for them to get a deal done. The relatively short extension likely means a deal is close.
I would hope so.
I mean, take out the trash, man.
Yeah, I would certainly hope it means, like, I don't feel like you approve a 7-day extension if they're like, we're not even close, this is going to take months.
Yeah, no, to me, what this sounds like is there's, like, some divestment issues and they need to wait until something is officially done.
Probably.
Until everything is signed as
It still blows my mind.
Oh, yeah.
How difficult it is to get someone who is a part of an organization like this out.
Yeah, because you know it's got to be legal a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. We're going to talk about the big event over the weekend with the Overwatch League, but the Overwatch League is moving to a home and away format for the 2020 season. The league has finally put out an announcement on what it is supposed to look like. So, guys, I got to know, what are we looking at for 2020?
Yeah, one of the major things is now there's been sort of a redistribution of how the teams will be set up. So you have the Atlantic and Pacific divisions right now. Those have been renamed conferences. And in those conferences, you'll have two divisions. So you'll have five teams in those divisions, and that's how everything will be broken down.
It'll sounds like hockey.
Hockey or even, you know, football, how you got like the NFC North, the NFC South. It's the same sort of concept.
So, but I mean, you know, we had given a lot of talk in, you know, towards like what home and away games would look like, what kind of travel schedule these players would be under. How are they trying to approach solving that puzzle?
So each weekend will actually play play host to two homestand games that'll be going on, and each homestand game will have, you know, several teams competing for those two days, and then the OWL in Blizzard will handle the broadcasting of those games, while the homestand themselves will actually handle the operation itself of the games that you see.
Yeah, so basically what we've seen in Atlanta and what we've seen in Dallas is pretty much the format that we'll be seeing moving forward. We'll be seeing five or so teams go to a town, they'll play, and then we'll pick it all up and move to another town and do the same
thing. So how do you think that this is going to end up working in terms of, you know, building enthusiasm, building attachment in your local region? You know, we've seen these homestands that have been very successful, but it's gotten people to wonder, like, if you have regular games in a city like Atlanta, how reasonably are you going to be able to be sure that you're going to fill butts in seats?
Well, and it's going to depend on the cities or on the regions that you have them in. They mentioned that certain places, such as your Dallas's, your Los Angeles's, they'll have upwards of five homestands throughout the season.
Okay.
Where places like maybe Florida might only have one or two homestands.
Interesting.
And another thing is, I think it'll work out for sure because you're not having games week in, week out.
Correct.
It's not static. It'll be like the circus. You know, it comes to town, everybody goes, and then it's gone.
Right.
And then
wait, when was the last year where the circus came to town, everyone went, and
let's,
then it
let's,
left?
Listen, let's draw a little bit more of an appropriate comparison.
Okay, Warped Tour. I don't know.
It's like DreamHack. DreamHack will go to different cities and bring their entire tournament apparatus in and kind of take over that city for the weekend. And it sounds very much like that's what they're trying to kind of emulate here.
That's true. But the biggest thing is that there will be no more stages. The stage format is gone.
Yeah. Really?
That's a big change.
Format. That's a huge change.
Yeah, and the reason why they've done that is they said is scheduling and travel is one of the big reasons.
So I can see that.
If you're playing inside your conference for, you know, 5 weeks and then you have a stage playoff, you could have a team that's essentially going to have to travel from Chengdu or Shanghai and, you know, essentially have to fly over to, I don't know, Paris or something crazy like that. That level of travel is something that clearly might be unsustainable for the league.
Well, the margins for success just went up a lot, because I'm assuming that that's going to impact prize pools. Each one of these stage playoffs has a prize pool attached to it.
Yeah, but it was only 100K. You take that, you know,
only
half a million.
Hold on.
But you take that
more
half
so
million.
Than prize pool, I'm actually worried about the viewership, because with the stages, you might have a team that performs poorly for two stages in a row. row, but then suddenly comes and shows up big in a stage, and now the viewers are looking for that. You get halfway through a season, and now suddenly maybe your Washington or your Florida fans don't want to watch because they know they're not going to make it to the
playoffs.
How's
that any different from any other sport?
I'm more curious what they're going to end up doing with the studio in Burbank, but we want to hear from you. Are you excited for home and away games coming with the 2020 season of Overwatch League? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get the latest in the biggest esports leagues, and we got to talk about that epic weekend that OWL had. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
The latest in the biggest esports leagues. We're going to cover that. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. It was a huge weekend for the Stage 3 playoffs in Overwatch League.
Oh, yeah.
We've got so much to talk about. A huge upsetting weekend, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to start with the LCS because we have returned to regular season play as we get ready for the Summer Split Finals that are going down here at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, so a couple things to hit on with LCS. Fantasy LCS at has been announced will be returning Spring Split 2020. So if you're missing out on your fantasy LCS, that is going to be returning quote unquote in some fashion. So I don't know exactly what that means.
That
Riot
mean?
We've been waiting. It's been gone for like three splits now, I feel like. Ooh. So yeah, finally they're going to be bringing back fantasy LCS. Hopefully,
I'm just
it'll
in
be
for
awesome.
Fantasy esports in general.
Yeah, right.
I'm in.
CLG lost two games over the weekend, so you know, right in time for me to start believing again. I immediately greeted with, "Hey, you better watch out. We might still be terrible." In their defense, they were playing Team Liquid and Golden Guardian, so it's not like they weren't playing
Golden Guardians.
Hey, if they
they're 500 team.
I get it.
Aware.
Liquid had another 2-0 weekend. They now have sole possession of first place. Cloud9 went 1-1, losing to Echo Fox and then beating TSM. They'll be in second place. CounterLogic Gaming and TSM are tied for third, and Optic and Golden Guardians are tied for fifth. And guys, we have three weeks
of play
until the playoffs are upon us. Lots to keep an eye on. I think your top couple teams, your top three teams, are probably going to be, at this point, they're pretty much guaranteed to at least make playoffs. Your team's battling it out. I mean, Optic and Golden Guardians, they've only got a one game lead over seventh and eighth place, so you're going to have to keep an eye on those matches. This week, we've got CLG and C9 playing, which that's going to be must-watch. Golden Guardians have a tough task. I'll tell you what. If Golden Guardians want to prove that they're for real and they deserve to be in the playoffs,
they beat TSM.
They play TSM and Team Liquid this weekend. You go 1-1 this weekend. Yep. If you want to prove you're for real, you go 1-1. You want to make my jaw hit the floor, you go 2-0. But that's a high order for anyone.
Well, but at the same time, I know you're very, very turned up about CLG. But yeah. They are currently, you know, they're up there with TSM at 7-5.
They are.
Can they do it? Is it possible?
Are you allowing yourself to believe?
Am I allowing myself hope?
Last week we had Caster Freak on the show.
We did.
And he told you, listen, it's okay to love again, but
yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
But there's a heavy caveat there because that, you know, the return to form is just around the bend.
I mean, but
at any moment they could go back to stinking.
Their remaining games are against FlyQuest, Cloud9, then Clutch Gaming.
Yeah. Come on, they can do this, right? Come on.
They could win out all but one of these games.
Let's hear it, Joe. Come on.
You're not getting me. No, I'm not buying back in. Show me. You show me. You have long since gone past the point of me buying in on your word. No, now you have to show me. That's the rule.
So if they come back in 2-0 FlyQuest,
I'll buy in if they 2-0.
Oh, really?
If they go 2-0 this weekend, I'll buy in.
Okay. All right.
I'll buy in if they do that.
You heard it here first. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through the latest in the biggest esports leagues. And we have so much to talk about when it comes to Overwatch League.
Breakthrough!
Oh, my God.
This was one heck of a final. Look, we're not even going to talk about Houston. We're not going to talk about Seoul or Hangzhou because they all lost out on round one. Even the Valiant, who looked okay against Hangzhou, ended up losing out. Where the real story here is with the Shanghai Dragons,
that's
Gamsu,
right,
and the crew.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that there is a story to be told with the season one winless Shanghai
That's
Dragons.
Right. They've come all the way back, bro.
No. You're doing a disservice to the
pull
Dragons.
Pull the other one, Robbie.
You're doing a disservice to the Dragons by comparing them to the team that once was Lashes. A whole different crew right here. They went up against New York in the first round, 3-1.
Thrashed them.
Didn't surprise a lot of people because New York tends to perform like this in the playoffs.
That's
okay?
Right.
Okay.
But they came up in the very next round against the league leading Vancouver Titans, the indomitable Vancouver Titans.
Adjusting to the meta quite well.
How many total losses do the Vancouver Titans
Uno.
Have in their books?
One regular season.
Uno.
And before this, one in the playoffs.
Wow.
Uno.
And they took them 4-1. Vancouver took a single map.
How?
They took a single map.
How?
The DPS on Shanghai had such a lockdown on Twilight, which was their main support playing Ana, that Bumper, who is one of the best tanks in the league, but relies a lot on being able to be supported by his team and by Twilight's
because
Ana,
he's very aggressive as a tank.
With no dedicated healer behind him, he evaporated. He looked like Fraggy season one.
Yeah, he did.
So Goats? Was Goats even a factor here?
There's been a lot of scuffed Goats. There's been a lot of somber Goats being played. So
not by Shanghai, though.
No, not by Shanghai. And this is part of what made them so dominant in this playoffs.
Okay.
What they were able to do is they were able to put pressure with Ding on the far from above.
Yeah.
Probably the best Pharah in the league, hands down now. They were able to support that Pharah by having a Widowmaker who could snipe out any counters to the Pharah while they were airborne.
Sure.
And then they had Young Jin on the Doomfist slapping people mm-hmm. around and knocking all the tanks out of position. There was nothing anybody could do.
So I got a question. Robbie, Norris, you guys host your own show, your own podcast called Low Team Damage for Overwatch and Overwatch League, right? And I've heard you guys on that show talk a lot about the possibility that Blizzard's going to come in and force roll lock into a 2-2-2 composition. My question to you is, could Shanghai have been as effective as they were in the Stage 3 playoffs if they were having to deal with a force 2-2-2?
No, I'd say
unequivocally no.
I'd say 50-50. It's hard to
know. I will stand on that. No. The composition they ran was so effective, and it needed all three of those DPS. All three of them.
Now, really quick, because that was only the semifinals. Shanghai met San Francisco Stage 2 champs in the finals. Shanghai got a commanding 3-0 lead. They were a match point away, and San Francisco managed to bring it all the way back. They were 3-3, and at that point, it was looking grim for the Dragons because they only had two maps to choose from, and the San Francisco Shock had a superior map record on both of them. They went to El Dorado, and Shanghai managed to pull out the win in the most spectacular.
All right, last question because we're running out of time here. What is the difference maker? What changes in a team that goes from losing every game in their first season to coming back and fighting to win the Stage 3 championship in the second season?
Number one, leadership.
Gamsu.
They added him to the mix, and they had a leader and a captain on the field that they could look to when the going got tough.
Mm-hmm. And I would say number two, it's the shift in meta. Allowing them to take three DPS into a mix like this, they absolutely absolutely dominated.
Well, we got to hear from you on this. Were you watching Shanghai's incredible victory? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.